Dr. Maynard Zafridi is an associate professor of religious studies and director of Holocaust, Genocide, and Interfaith Education Center at Manhattan College. She is committed to interfaith and the Holocaust education. She teaches contemporary Islam, Holocaust, genocide, and issues of gender within Islam. She will join the Sydney and Beatrice Albert Interfaith Lectureship Program at the College of St. Rose next Tuesday, that's April 17th, to present a lecture entitled The Rise of Antisemitism and Islamophobia, Solutions and Changes. With a preview, it is a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Maynard Zafridi to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate being here.
Well, it's a great pleasure to have you on the program. Your background fascinates me because here you are, you're teaching Islam, you're teaching the Holocaust, you're doing it at a Catholic college, and you are a Muslim. That's cool.
Yes, I am.
That's very cool. Are there challenges?
Well, it shows you that things in the United States are possible, and my college, which is a Catholic college, has been just an incredibly amazing support to my work, which can be controversial sometimes, and very supportive to my Islamic work as well. And my department's been just amazing in terms of letting me build these courses.
So this is a microcosm, is it not? I mean, this very, just your position, your story, your tenure there is a microcosm ultimately of what you're talking about when it comes to interfaith. Is that fair to say?
Correct. I mean, so, you know, I don't just talk about it. I actually am doing it constantly. So I think it's a good example for us to see that Muslims, Jews, and Christians can actually come together and under one umbrella, under, you know, the auspices of educating our generations, our future generations, and our communities.
When you think about the challenges, what are they for you? Obviously, as you say, it can be controversial. Are there challenges that you face on a regular basis?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, one of the things I'm doing at St. Rose, which I'm really excited about on Tuesday, is talking about the rise of anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. And as a Muslim, you know, I experience Islamophobia, and I see that there is actually a higher percentage of anti-Semitism. So I'm walking a very fine line all the time. It's almost as if I'm playing two sides, but they're really the same kind of sides. So that can be really challenging. It also can be challenging when there is discord between Jews and Muslims over politics, but that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about discrimination, prejudice, lack of education, and, you know, really not knowing what Judaism and Islam is here in the United States. I mean, we're such a small percentage of the United States canvas, but we're such a loud kind of image in the United States. So that becomes really challenging. I mean, the other challenge is, of course, yesterday was Yom HaShoah, so we marked it, which is, you know, Holocaust Remembrance Day.
Right.
And I, as a Muslim, you know, had an event last night with a woman who was talking about what it meant to be a Mishling, which means you were still persecuted if you were half Jewish and Christian. So, I mean, sometimes I think there can be controversy over the fact that a Muslim is trying to carry forth the memory of the persecution of Jews during the Holocaust, and sometimes it can be challenging because Muslims may see me as sort of, you know, an outlier, because here I am, you know, I'm talking about the Holocaust and not talking about focusing on other things. My focus is the Holocaust, but I do teach other genocides like Bosnia and Darfur, and even worked very actively recently on the Rohingya Muslim crisis. So, yeah, I walk a fine line, but if you read about me, if you meet me, if you talk to me, you know that I'm not sitting here being anti-Semitic or Islamophobic, and it's just a very tough rope to kind of balance everything.
I mentioned the name of the lecture is The Rise of Antisemitism and Islamophobia, Solutions and Challenges. I'm going to ask you an incredibly picky question, and just tell me if I'm making too much out of this. But
okay.
The decision to put solutions before challenges, in the sense of we have the solutions and here are the challenges to the solutions, or here are the challenges and here are the solutions.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you are making too much out of
okay,
it.
Okay, good.
But, I mean,
yeah.
I can totally, you know, I can actually answer that question. I mean, the challenges are that, you know, we've seen an increase in anti-Semitic incidences, say, for example, in 2016 with the Pew Research, which in the United States have risen by 64%. So we had like 684 incidences against Muslims in 2016. We had 307 incidences. In terms of Catholics, we had 62 hate crimes, and Protestants 15. And the rise of anti-Semitism is very complicated because I also work in Europe and European areas. And the recent murder of Mireille Knoll, who was a Holocaust survivor, and they still don't know correctly who did it, but one of the men was to be known as being Muslim. And there have been a lot of incidences in Europe where a lot of the anti-Semitism is coming from Muslim Europeans. And that's something else that I deal with. So there are these challenges where we are constantly looking at scapegoats in different cultures, you know, and we're, again, very minority, both Jews and Muslims here in this country, and also, well, in Europe, we're more of a majority because it's a smaller population and more visible. But the solutions to that are, you know, really comes to doing work on the ground, where in the United States, we have so many alliances between Muslims, Jews, and Catholics, and Christians, and interfaith alliances. My center does lots of work with the community that's Jewish, brings in Muslim students, where I'm the advisor of the Muslim students. We do projects together. And what I find, and it's just maybe really simple for me to say as an academic, as a person with experience, is that the solution is intimacy, contact, friendship, understanding. If you look at data, if you know a Muslim or a Jew, you are less likely to, you know, partake in a hate crime or partake in prejudice. And that's sort of what I'm trying to do, is to bring us closer in not just, you know, academic events, but in community service, in getting together and maybe sharing a meal or building friendships between students that will be never to talk to each other, whether they're Jewish, Muslim, or Catholic. I think those solutions are very simple, but they're hard to get to because people don't know how to proceed. And that's why we have to take leadership and say, this is something you can do. This is something we can offer you. This is a project we can do. This is a social, you know, hour where we can hang out and talk. You know, I've seen teenagers, Muslim, Jews, and Christians get together and discuss apps on their phone, and that's their first contact, but they realize how much they have in common, even through an app. For me, that's good enough. So those are the kinds of solutions we talk about. The challenges are huge. But I think there's so many wonderful alliances. I think the United States is the place to do this work. It's the most open. We have the most religious freedom. And I think the support that you get from people who say, wow, this could, you know, kind of quell the prejudice that we have today.
Does your optimism come from working and speaking to young people?
My optimism comes with looking at real change. And I think that things have transformed and change, and we get buried under the negative kind of media and social media environment that we live in. My optimism comes with the people I work with, the school I teach at, my colleagues. I see the kind of phenomenal things that are going on that I wish I had a TV that I could run the station and just show people in the world what incredible things are going on. I see people even on the ground. I was recently in Israel and in the West Bank. I see people working with one another. We never see that. We see border problems and violence, and we don't see the peacemakers. We don't hear their voices. And I think that's why I'm optimistic, because I can see it. I can hear it, and it's real to me.
When you think, and let me just go back, though, what is, again, though, in working with young people, this is mm-hmm. less of a challenge for them than it is for older people, isn't it? I mean, if it comes in assumed and they're more open, isn't that easier?
It is easier, but I think when you have, say, you know, I'm an advisor of the Muslim Students Association at Manhattan College. I have some students that wear the hijab and that have experienced direct discrimination, whether trying to pull off their hijab or, you know, stared at. even on the campus sometimes. And I think that is really hard because they're so young. They're, you know, 18, yes. 19, 20, 21-year-olds. And what we're doing is we're constructing their memory of being Americans. I think it's really hard for my daughter, who has just turned 11, to experience rhetoric about the Muslim ban or to see that there is discrimination against Muslims. What is the memory we're giving her as an American Muslim girl? These are really important questions. This is exactly where the challenge is. how do we, as adults, as people who are older, looking at these generations, what are we offering them to look at and construct their own memory from? So I don't know if it's more challenging for us adults because maybe we have more maturity and we can ignore things or walk away, but I think it really hurts young people when they're discriminated against, or it hurts Jewish students on a campus where they can't have a moment of silence for Yom HaShoah. So I think these things are really important for us adults to remember that, yes, they are more open. There are less hate crimes that are caused by younger people. The statistics say it's people 60 and older. But for me, I think the hate crimes become an example. It's not as if they don't hear and watch and listen. And I think that's where I come in and say, I want to work with you guys.
Well, you are going to be speaking at the College of St. Rose on Tuesday at the Hubbard Interfaith Sanctuary. The name of the lecture is The Rise of Antisemitism and Islamophobia, Solutions and Challenges. This is part of the Sydney and Beatrice Albert Interfaith Lectureship Program at the College of St. Rose. And again, it's next Tuesday, April 17th at the Hubbard Interfaith Sanctuary. To learn more, you can visit St. Rose, STROSE, Strohs, as we call it, strohs.edu. A direct link to the page for the event will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Dr. Minaz Afridi, thank you so much for spending time with us. We look forward to having you in the region. A great pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you so much, Joe. I really appreciate your questions.
Thank you very much. Again, Dr. Minaz Afridi speaking at the College of St. Rose on Tuesday, April 17th, strohs.edu for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.